This is Free Thought Radio with co-hosts Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us. Above us, only sky.
Happy Juneteenth. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And I'm Dan Barker, your friendly neighborhood atheist of the airwaves. I'm a former preacher who's seen the light. After 19 years as a minister and an evangelist, I poured out the bathwater and I found out there's no baby there. If you were a true believer like me, I know what you went through. To reason your way out of the brainwashing of religion. So welcome to the Nonfold.
And welcome to Free Thought Radio, the weekly production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, serving as the nation's largest membership association of freethinkers, atheists, and agnostics, and working as a diligent state church watchdog. And about 20% of our members were always nuns. Not N-U-N-S, but N-O-N-E-S, choosing none of the above with religion, like me.
You were a nun, Annie Laurie?
Yes. I grew up free from religion. But 80%, like Dan, had some kind of religious indoctrination to overcome.
But whatever your story is, we hope not someday, but today you will join us. You can join us, if you want, at the Freedom From Religion Foundation webpage, FFRF.org. Why did you say Juneteenth, Annie Laurie?
Well, that's the upcoming anniversary of the Emancipation Proclamation freeing the slaves, and it's traditionally celebrated. And we celebrate the freedom not only from physical bondage, but from mental bondage. And I love that quote by Butterfly McQueen, who was our lifetime member, who had that thankless role as Prissy in Gone with the Wind, the actress who said, "As my ancestors are free from slavery, I am free from the slavery of religion."
This show, Free Thought Radio, is broadcasting from Madison, Wisconsin. And this is the June 16th, 2012, the Juneteenth show, 2012. And we also podcast, of course, all over the world. Now, we have not had on our show yet feminist majority president and famous feminist Eleanor Smeal. Well, she was on about 5 years ago, wasn't she? So it's about time we catch up with Ellie Smeal on the second half of Free Thought Radio. Well, she'll be talking about some of the religious threats to women's rights.
And speaking of that, FFRF is going into metaphorical hand-to-hand combat with the Catholic bishops. And we have talked about this on the show. They have a concerted effort June 21st through July 4th, a multi-million dollar PR campaign. They have filed lawsuits against the Obama administration's fighting the Health and Human Services contraceptive mandate. They also want to pass a law that would allow any religious employer to deny health care benefits to an employee if they have if the employer has a religious objection. So it's an out-and-out war against contraceptive rights, reproductive liberty, and secular government by the Catholic Church. And FFRF has a Counter the Bishops campaign. And we've got a whole bunch of things that we're unveiling next week.
Well, one of the country's most famous ex-Catholics is Julia Sweeney. And last week we played the radio commercial that she made for us, most graciously recorded for us. It's just 30 seconds long. It goes by really fast. So we thought you'd like to hear it again this week, and hoping that you will donate to our Counter the Bishops campaign so FFRF can make a splash later this month and get this ad that you're about to hear, Julia's very sane and sweet message on national and regional television.
Hi, I'm Julia Sweeney, and I'm an atheist and former Catholic. I even wrote a play about it called Letting Go of God. Right now, Catholic bishops are using their considerable influence to deny women contraceptive rights. Please join the Freedom From Religion Foundation and help keep church and state separate. You can call 1-800-335-4021, that's 1-800-335-4021, or visit ffrf.org to stand up for true religious freedom.
And actually, that's the radio version. We have a TV version that doesn't, the captions give our number and stuff, but that radio version is now currently playing on the Randy Rhodes Show this week and next week, and we are getting lots of calls from that. But what we really want to do is get this TV commercial on some splashy and some continuous TV to counter the bishops.
I got one of the phone calls last night from somebody who saw the ad on Randy, heard the ad on Randy Rhodes Show, saying, "Count me in. I want to fight those bishops and fight for women's rights."
And Julia also recorded a longer web ad for FFRF, and you can view that. You can actually view the 30-second commercial. You can view this one at our homepage at FFRF.org. And in this version, she explains a little bit more about the details of the threat posed by the bishops.
Hi, I'm Julia Sweeney, and I'm a cultural Catholic. I'm no longer a believer, and I even wrote a play about it called Letting Go of God. But I want you to know that right now the Catholic bishops have found their galvanizing issue. And it's not about fighting economic injustice or even about helping to keep their youngest members free from sexual predators. No. The issue that the Catholic Church has decided to focus their considerable political will, energy, and money on is the right to deny women contraceptive coverage. And not just Catholic employers, everyone. So an employer who's a Jehovah's Witness could refuse blood transfusion coverage for his or her employees, or a Scientologist employer could refuse to cover any type of psychiatric care or even medication, or Christian Scientist employer could refuse to cover, well, I guess, everything. It's an outrage. Please join the Freedom From Religion Foundation and help keep church and state separate.
And you can help us fight back in many ways, including getting that ad and other ads played on TV and radio.
There's a 30-second spot that's too long for TV, yeah. But it's another version you can see
but
on our website.
But you could promote the one-minute one that you just heard on the web. You could help us promote it through the web, maybe through Facebook or whatever. But to learn how to fight back in many other ways, go to our website at ffrf.org for more details about how to combat this bishop's phony campaign, whining that their religious freedom is under siege because the government isn't letting them deny employees contraceptive benefits. You can find that, and we'll be updating everything we're going to do to counter their multi-million dollar campaign leading up to the 4th of July. Go to ffrf.org/get-involved. There's a hyphen there, get-involved/stand-up, stand-up.
And at the homepage, there's numerous links. You can see Julia's several commercials, and you can see our billboards, and we hope that you will help us with it. Excuse me. Now, I posted a blog about our June 8th counter rally. Dan, you were there.
Yeah, that was fun. Standing on the sidewalk protesting the Catholics who were at the federal building in Madison.
There were about 100 of these called by the Catholic bishops around the country. They had very tiny turnouts, but the fanatics came out, excuse me, and in Madison, they were at the federal courthouse here in Wisconsin, and they had signs saying, "Contraception kills." Hmm. And that was very chilling, and they had young men speaking out against this as speakers saying, "God is on our side," and they called us what, socialists and commies? And what did someone call you?
They called me a communist. Well, this one guy got right in my face. You can see pictures of this guy screaming at me nose to nose saying, "I fought in wars to defend America's freedoms." And I said, "Thank you for defending my freedom to stand here in protest." And then he said, "But you are a non-person."
So a zygote is a person. Excuse me. But you're a non-person.
Well, it was a lot of fun, and I don't think they had ever heard that much protest before. I think they were surprised that there are American citizens exercising their free speech to fight for women's rights against this phony campaign by the bishops.
And about how many prayers did we have to listen to?
Oh, I don't know.
Six?
six or 12 prayers.
And they turned to us. At one point, the priest had them all literally face us counter-protesters and pray loudly, out loud, at us.
At us, yeah. And at one point, this big priest got up and was saying, "We are now going to pray." He started praying, and in this quiet moment, I yelled out, "You're talking to yourself!" And, of course, I made a lot of friends that day.
Now, I want to remind people that the bishop's beef is phony, that the Obama administration has released a mandate under Health and Human Services that says that women employees do not have to give a copay for contraceptive coverage. That's already the law in more than half the states because they want to make sure women are not essentially being double billed for their own insurance. And because it can cost well over $1,000 for birth control pills in a year, and women can't afford it if they have these penalties in their insurance. And they specifically exempted all the churches. The bishops are exempted, the Catholic Church, every single church is exempted from having to make sure their employees get this coverage. And even religious schools and universities are exempted under the Obama compromise. Private insurers will make sure that these employees get access to contraception. So where is the injustice to the bishops? And then they've floated a law in Congress that, as Julia pointed out, would let any employer discriminate against their health care for their employer. Even if just a private person owning a shop was Catholic, they could say, no contraception for my employers. So it's very insidious, and we will keep you posted on our very important countering of this.
I think they're grasping at straws. They've lost so much moral credibility over all these scandals that they're trying to pretend that they can speak out on some ethical issue. Moving on, our legal team of four staff attorneys have been receiving, as usual, a lot of government prayer complaints, and we have a really egregious violation going on in Columbus, Ohio. Listen to this, NBC4 out of Columbus.
I will not cancel this lunch. Eat up.
Columbus Mayor Mike Coleman is referring to a national group's attempt to put a stop to this 13th annual interfaith prayer luncheon. It was held today as planned.
The Freedom From Religion Foundation sent this letter to the city of Columbus stating their opposition to the city hosting today's interfaith luncheon. They say it's a violation of the separation of church and state.
And this is a very egregious violation because you can get ticket information and purchase tickets through the city. And that is absolutely impermissible.
The Freedom From Religion Foundation is saying that using the city's website is a violation. Do you have a problem with using the city's website?
Well, we'll look at all that. But what they want me to do is not have this prayer luncheon. I'm going to have this prayer luncheon. I'm going to have it this year, and I'm going to have every future year as long as I'm mayor.
The group says they sent the letter in response to complaints they received from people living in Columbus.
The city simply should not be coordinating the event.
In fact, the Freedom From Religion group says Ohio is one of the worst states with a high number of complaints.
You consider Ohio one of the top complaint states?
Offender, yeah, one of the top offending states. There's just a lot of violations going on in Ohio.
In Columbus, Rick Reitzel, NBC4.
So we keep complaining about these violations.
Well, and we may sue over this because about 20 years ago we did successfully sue. When it was Mayor Wellington Webb in Denver, did the same thing and wouldn't stop. So we'll see what happens.
Stay tuned for some very good news out of Santa Monica. And then we'll talk with Ellie Smeal, a former Catholic, former now president, who currently runs the Feminist Majority.
Roman, Ave Maria, gee, it's good to see you. Getting ecstatic and sort of dramatic and doing the Vatican right.
This is Free Thought Radio with your hosts, Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor.
I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie, and we're co-directors of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, which is a 501c educational charity and the nation's largest free thought association with more than 18,500 atheist agnostic freethinking members working to keep state and church separate. Membership dues are only $40 a year. That is tax deductible, $50 if there's a household. And that gets you 10 issues a year of our newspaper, Free Thought Today, which is a 24-page newspaper edited by Bill Dunn, full of details on some of what you're learning on Freethought today and acquainting you with the Freethought community and updating you on everything you need to know as a good freethinker on state church separation. So we do hope you'll join us today at ffrf.org.
Now for the promised good news. Last December, we told you about the winter solstice display that we had put up in the city of Santa Monica, California, protesting a nativity scene. Listen to this week's news story out of KTLA 5 in California.
It's a Christmas tradition turned controversial in Santa Monica. Nativity scenes out along Palisades Park, they have been challenged by atheists over the past years, but now the Santa Monica City Council has made a decision for this coming holiday season. Let's go to Carolyn Costello. She's live there with more on the story. Hello, Carolyn.
Yeah, this group of atheists say this is really about separation of church and state. They have been offended by and opposed to a religious group, a Christian group, using public property to display a religious message. Last Christmas, last holiday season, this group of atheists decided to wage battle. And right now, according to City Council, it appears as though they have won. A series of nativity scenes have lined Ocean Avenue in Santa Monica at Christmas time for nearly 60 years, a tradition many people have enjoyed, including Councilman Robert Holbrook.
I'm a 70-year resident, and I can remember clear back to the first one we did in 1953. I was a kid then.
But with a heavy heart, Holbrook voted unanimously with his fellow council members to stop allowing the use of city property for the nativity display or any display. The decision comes after last Christmas when an atheist group competed for use of the public land and in a lottery system won the right to use the majority of lots available. Many of the lots that once displayed lit up Christmas scenes stayed empty last year. Others showcased posters proclaiming Jesus is a myth and there's no such thing as God.
The city council, we believe, gave in far too early, threw in the towel, capitulated to a tiny group of out-of-town agitators.
But Councilmember Holbrook, along with other city leaders, feared allowing public land to be used as a battlefield at Christmas time may have led to more broken hearts and disappointment.
The city cannot control the content of free speech, and I'm very convinced that the free speech, the content would have become really egregious to a lot of people.
Reporting live from Santa Monica, Carolyn Castillo.
Okay, so we were, FFRF was invited to put up our display, our traditional winter solstice display by one of our members, Damon Vicks, and some area freethinkers because they had won these lots. And our sign, of course, says, at this season of the winter solstice may reason prevail. There are no gods, no devils, no angels, no heaven or hell. There's only our natural world. Religion is but myth and superstition that hardens hearts and enslaves minds. Now, you've heard that before on Freethought Radio.
What an inflammatory thing to say.
Well, so we're delighted that reason has prevailed and will prevail for the next winter solstice season. And the religionists got a taste of what it's like to walk in your beautiful public park and be confronted and assaulted with religious messages or irreligious messages with which you disagree. And Dan, you have a little bit more detail about this.
Well, there was a story this week in the LA Times written by Martha Groves and some excerpts from her story. For nearly six decades, life-size scenes celebrating Jesus' birth have been a seasonal fixture in the park that runs atop the coastal bluffs along Ocean Avenue. In December, Christian churches were readying plans to display their nativity scenes when non-believer groups objected and applied to the city for their own spaces. To keep things fair and legal, officials used a lottery to divvy up the spots. The atheists scored big, securing 18 of the 21 spaces, where they displayed information that did not celebrate the Christmas story. A Jewish group also won a place for a menorah. Christian churches won two plots, whereas in the past they had occupied 14. City Attorney Marcia Jones Mutri told the council that city staff members had received physical and legal threats as they contemplated ways to address this issue. Several employees received a form email that read, "Isn't the internet a great invention? Not only do I know who you are, I know what you did, where you work, what you look like, and where you live. Sincerely, The Creche." She said she had anticipated that the lottery would become increasingly costly and difficult to administer given the rising tensions. She said, "Our research shows we can legally ban all unattended displays in parks. It would help preserve the aesthetic quality of Palisades Park." Park.
So here, here. And religion is divisive. Religion does not belong on government property, on property that's owned by all of us. And for 60 years, the churches have been dominant and bullying the minority. And this is the best resolution. Reason has prevailed. Now, who's coming up?
We're going to talk with Ellie Smeal. She used to be the president of NOW. She now runs a group called The Feminist Majority. We spoke with her about 5 years ago. And what are we going to talk about?
Well, the war against women and reproductive rights and what Feminist Majority is up to counter it.
Ask for a sample issue of Free Thought today and find out more about the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org or phone 1-800-335-4021. This is Free Thought Radio.
No gods, no masters, no popes, no pastors. Think for yourself. No more dictators, resist those woman haters and decide for yourself. No gods, no masters, no popes, no pastors.
And that's a bit of the song, No Gods, No Masters. It's a song about Margaret Sanger. And that
who
phrase.
Who wrote that song, Dan?
Oh, who wrote that song?
Who performed that song?
Some guy named Dan Barker. The phrase, no gods, no masters, was the motto that Margaret Sanger had at the top of every one of her woman rebel newsletters that she sent out. She said, let each woman control her own fate.
And we have, I'm Annie Laura Gaylor, and we have a special guest today who's been a latter-day Margaret Sanger working for 30 years to allow women to have equality and decide their fate. As president of the National Organization for Women, Ellie Smeal, of course, led the drive to ratify the Equal Rights Amendment, as far as I'm concerned, squelched by the religious lobby. When she said it couldn't be done, she led the first national abortion rights march in Washington in 1986, drawing more than 100,000 pro-choice participants. When violence threatened to close the nation's women's healthcare clinics, Ellie Smeal developed the Feminist Majority's National Clinic Access Project, which is the largest program of its kind in the country, and has trained over 45,000 clinic defenders in some 26 states in nonviolent clinic defense techniques. Ellie was the architect of the Feminist Majority's landmark 1994 U.S. Supreme Court case upholding the use of buffer zones to protect clinics. So that case was Madsen versus Women's Healthcare. And as a feminist, she's been on the forefront of all of our major women's rights victories, the Pregnancy Discrimination Act, Equal Credit Act, Civil Rights Restoration Act, Violence Against Women Act, Freedom to Access to Clinic Entrances Act, and the Civil Rights Act of 1991. So it's been way too long. Welcome back to Free Thought Radio, Ellie.
Oh, it's great talking to you.
Now, there's been so much going on just this week. We can't catch up over 5 years, but what about the last 5 days in North Dakota?
South Dakota.
It was great. We won in North Carolina. We defeated the so-called Religious Liberty Amendment that would have, in fact, led to limiting the choices, really, of North Dakotans, and they resoundingly defeated it, 64-36.
And they have had so much pressure. I mean, there's always been something coming up in the Dakotas, so we've been retaining our ground there.
Well, this was, I think, the brainchild of the, they call it the Catholic Conference, but that's really the original name of the Catholic Conference, the National Conference of Catholic Bishops, and I guess this was the North Dakota variety. Some of our local people there said it was suggested by the local bishop, but whatever. It was also endorsed by them, and also the focus on the local affiliate of Focus on the Family. But even though the wording was quite confusing, it was clear that, you know, it was really scary that you could have, if it had passed, a person could simply say that because of their sincerely held religious belief, they could withheld or provide services or benefits. So basically, what we were worried about, of course, is that they could withhold, for example, a pharmaceutical could withhold filling out a prescription for a contraceptive, or maybe a man could say that his sincerely held beliefs, religious beliefs, made him the head of the house, and he could beat his wife and violate domestic violence laws. You think of all kinds of permutations of this, such as, you know, people who might not want to take a seriously ill a child to a doctor. Mm-hmm. It goes on.
People have died. Children have died because of that.
Yes. And actually, it breaks down the whole concept of a common law. I mean, because there's certain things that the society as a whole have made decisions about in public policy, and you couldn't, if everybody would go their own way, and this wasn't even according to a particular religion, you couldn't even define it. If they said it was their sincerely held religious belief, well, goodness knows. Anyway, it was voted down, and it was very relieving.
Now, I mean, this is foreshadowing, or the whole Catholic Conference of Bishops campaign against the Health and Human Services contraceptive mandate.
That's right.
It's also what the bishops have had introduced into Congress, which would allow any employer to have a religious objection to covering health care for some person, particular aspect of it, like contraception for their employers.
Right.
So,
well, essentially what this is that it would make not the person decide, but some religious entity make up the decision of what they would provide or not provide, based on their creed, even though these facilities are public facilities. I mean, they receive public funding, mm-hmm. And there would be no common requirement. By the way, President Obama compromised on that mandate, saying that if the religious... Now, these are not the church, by the way. The church and mosque and synagogues were exempted. Employees thereof, but this was of religious-affiliated hospitals, charities, and universities and colleges, and they said that they must provide in their health insurance coverage. In other words, it's not like they're handing out
condoms,
pills,
yeah.
Or condoms, right? It's just in their insurance coverage that it would be covered. Birth control would be covered without copays or deductibles. And they're talking here now of contraceptives, and but that if the religious affiliated institution objected, then the insurance company would provide it directly.
That's
or
the
they gave them three or four choices so that the institution didn't have to have anything to do with it. Now remember, these individuals are paying for that health care.
Yes, so they women were being double billed essentially to get their birth control pills. And
well,
so,
actually, you know, the Affordable Care Act is a great step forward for women because this is birth control pills without copays or deductibles.
Right.
So once they have the insurance coverage, they would have access.
And this is what already half of the states have mandated, but the Catholic Church is having a hissy fit of a,
right.
On a grand scale.
Not the church, the bishops.
The bishops.
Yeah, bishops. That's what we should really clarify that, Dan. You're right.
Because I think 90% of American Catholic women use birth control and disagree with the bishops.
98%
yeah, it's actually
have,
higher than that.
Yeah.
Is it?
98% have used contraception and 85% regularly, right?
Right. Essentially, it's very, very high. And they were trying, and now this is the other crazy thing, is that some of Catholic affiliated institutions had already been providing it for their hospitals or students. For example, at Georgetown, my understanding is one, they didn't provide it for the students, but they provided that coverage for employees. But suddenly, because the bishops, in my opinion, are opposed to the Affordable Care Act, period.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they are.
They decided to choose a conflict or a battle with the president.
Now, I mean, to me, it looks like a pure political inquisition.
Well, I mean, what it looks like to me really is that they want to defeat the Affordable Care Act. And I think it's because they, you know, like all big institutions, want no regulations. And they run insurance companies. I mean, they don't run them. I shouldn't say it that way. But they own them.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically, we had a lot of health insurance companies lobbying against the Affordable Care Act because this, you know, created some regulations. For example, individual policies, on the average, women pay about 48% more than men for the same coverage. Then they would complain, oh, but women need maternity coverage. But then the majority of the insurance plans didn't even cover maternity.
Yeah, and obviously...
mandates covering maternity, too, by the way.
Uh-huh. Now, obviously, if you're using birth control regularly, it's going to cost employers or the health insurance overall less money if you're not having a baby.
Yeah,
but they didn't even want to do that.
Actually, they save money because actually maternity coverage is more expensive. But as I said, you know, before they weren't even frequently covering maternity. Now, this also mandates maternity coverage. It's not, you know, biased against having kids. It's allowing the woman to have coverage. And right now, these are very, very expensive happenings in the vast majority of women's lives.
And so this is really a huge reform for women's equality that is under attack.
When I said happenings, I mean either using contraception or having a baby, either direction is expensive, and it should be covered by health insurance.
Well, hear, hear. Now, we're talking with Ellie Smill, president of the Feminist Majority, a true activist, and we're going to come back after this break. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylord.
And I'm Dan Barker.
And we'll catch up with what you've been doing, Ellie, on all the fronts, and
okay.
We'll be back in a minute.
The things that you're liable to read in the Bible, it ain't necessarily so. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylord, and we are talking with Feminist Majority President Eleanor Smeal. And Ellie, during the commercial break, you were telling us there have been some significant feminist anniversaries this year.
Yes, it's the Ms. Magazine's 40th anniversary. We publish Ms. Magazine, by the way, the Feminist Majority does. Feminist Majority Foundation, and it's the Feminist Majority's 25th anniversary.
Well, congratulations. And
thank you.
It was really fun to see the New York Times write up about Ms. Magazine and that it's still being published. Now, we've been talking about the war against reproductive rights. Is there anything particular that's new that Feminist Majority is doing on that front?
Well, we're very worried about whether or not people are going to be able to vote in November, because there's been so many voter suppression laws passed in state after state, and they've been targeted at students and older women and people of color. So we think that it's very important to get out the right voting information and to help make sure that people are helped in voting. But a lot of students, for example, now they're going to have state-issued IDs for voting, and their own student ID in some states no longer will count. So, you know, that's just one type of thing. Some women who are older that they've been voting in a place for years, but maybe they're listed under a married name and... they don't have their original birth certificate. Important is that they're being required to have state-issued IDs if they don't have a driver's license. And a lot of people don't have driver's license, especially older people. And so basically they got to go down and get a new ID. But they got
and that's a lot of
work
if you don't drive.
Yeah, and not only that, you got to get to the right place. Because not all motor vehicle departments issue them. So you have to find the right place. Then you have to, provide, for example, say you had your birth certificate, but now your name isn't the same because you're going with a married name. Well, then you have to show them a marriage certificate.
But isn't the point that these groups of people tend to vote more feminist, and they're trying to suppress that?
Of course. That's one of the things we're worried about. We have strong support from women, and this will close the gender gap by eliminating some women voters. And then we have strong support from students, and it's trying to reduce their votes. So we're very concerned. And we also have very strong support from people of color, especially women.
Well, this is like a poll tax.
Yeah, well, yeah, because you have to pay for it in some states.
It's so unnecessary.
Some states they're free, other states it's nominal, but it's a poll tax, as you say, because you have to spend money to go get it.
So what are you doing?
What used to be that you could provide your electric bill.
Right.
Some states you still can. I'm just saying that they've changed the law now in over 20 states, so you have, it's a hassle, and for some people, it'll be very difficult for them to comply. So we're, for example, we have a whole student voting mobilization campaign going on. Other groups are specializing in older people or people of color or whatever. And there has been some lawsuits. There was a lawsuit in Florida. It's still going on. But one part of it, at least, has been Legal Women Voters won on because they changed the registration laws, making it very much harder for third-party groups to register, but
we have a lawsuit.
Part of that's been corrected.
We have a lawsuit here in Wisconsin, and part of the law was put on hold. But it's the same. We've always had you can register at the polls. It's been a cinch. We've never had any criminal activity or fraud.
It's all fraud. It's all when they call it excuse me.
Well, maybe six people over 10 years have tried to do something flaky, But
well, we should be making it as easy as possible, given our low numbers of turnouts, for people to vote. And here we are trying to eliminate voters, and it's quite nefarious.
Well, and it's really ridiculous that it's so obvious they're trying to target in on people who they think won't vote their way. To fight this voter suppression is very important. I don't think it's new, by the way. It's just blatant now. And I think one of the problems is that if you don't feel like you can get a majority reasonably, then you start fooling around with voting systems and then blaming it on fraud, which doesn't exist. It's really pathetic.
Now, in our last couple minutes, Ellie, I know you have been following the Catholic Church's priest pedophile scandal for years and years, as FFRF has with our black collar crimes, and we've been watching what's going on with that lawsuit against the Monsignor. Do you want to talk a little bit about, you're a former Catholic.
It's a very important lawsuit in Philadelphia because it involves the cover-up. This is the Monsignor there, Lynn, who was the aide to the Cardinal. And the Cardinal, by the way, was made to testify, and the judge ruled that he had to testify. He's quite advanced age, and literally he died the next day after his ruled he had to testify, which, now this Monsignor is saying he didn't do it. He was ordered to do it by the deceased cardinal. but whatever the case, they've been covering up, moving pedophiles,
musical chairs
parish to another. What
musical chairs they're playing?
Yes, and covering up, constantly covering up, rather than being concerned about the well-being of the children, they've been more concerned about their own reputations. But this is very important because it is one on the cover-up. There's also involves also a criminal cases against a priest too that was involved, but this is of an official.
We're also watching there is a bishop also who has been charged. And
that's in Missouri.
Missouri, yeah, Memphis, Kansas, in Missouri. And,
yes.
I can remember writing an editorial 25 years ago, when are we finally going to hold a bishop accountable for cover-up, collusion,
yeah.
and you know,
that's
being
a very important case, because it's the first bishop that's on trial for essentially, again, moving a priest and ignoring or covering up. But so they're both going on simultaneously, but that's not all that's going on. At the beginning of the year, a bishop in Canada was accused of a sadomasochistic child pornography and convicted and sentenced to jail. That was in Canada.
Well, there have been some others around the world, but never charged in the United States, which kowtows to the Catholic Church far too much.
Maybe. Well, the thing about it is, I don't think that people have any concept, because, you know, it's a case here and a case there, of how big this is. But this involves literally in our own country thousands of priests.
And we do catalog that still in Black Collar Crimes in Free Thought Today for people who are particularly interested in watching the pedophile scandals. But I was fascinated about Bishop Dolan, who is spearheading the anti-woman war against contraception. And I don't know if you caught, that he was giving payoffs as $20,000 when he was in Milwaukee to pedophile priests to leave.
He wasn't getting them. He was paying out.
Right.
Yeah. Well, to a priest to encourage them to leave the priesthood.
Well, it's a delight to talk with you. You can find out more about Feminist Majority at feminist.org. Thank you so much for all your work for all these years, Ellie.
Well, thank you. And I do think that real liberty will prevail. I just have to fight awfully hard for it.
Yes.
That's feminist.org. Thank you also, Dave McCann, for producing and engineering. Find out more at ffrf.org/radio.
Tune in next week for more Rational Radio and Blasphemous Broadcasting.
Free Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, ffrf.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker. I hope someday